benefit from that same use of technology. I think that sometimes that proactiveness is something that the auditor's office sometimes misses, because sometimes they can identify problems and identify that you're missing the mark, or that this money is at risk of being abused or has been abused, but I see much more of a proactive role.
Follow up, Representative.
Thank you. You mentioned that a lot of people around here, or a few people around here, had great ideas on reducing government. Is that your goal here in this?
Chair Crummell, Representative Marks, you've been great people. Yeah, there's great ideas here. Here in Oregon, we see some of them being implemented with the Department of Human Resources trying to consolidate services, and I would love to be able to give them just kind of the collective knowledge from what's happening around in the country to be able to say, hey, here you are trying to consolidate services. What can we learn from how it's been done with other states so you can even do it even better?
So you'd like to see a little government reduced?
Yes.
Thank you.
I would point out that the auditors within their position is to identify problems identify performance measures that are not being met, but it's not within their purview really to go in and make. They might make recommendations, but it's not within their purview to really go in and help the department implement whatever some of the solutions might be or some of the performance things that they might identify. Whereas I'm sort of viewing this, and if I read this correctly, that would sort of be the job of this ombudsperson then, would be to, they could go over the audit with a department, for example, and then talk about the different things that have been solutions that have been tried in other states and kind of help the department with the actual implementation. And is that kind of the goal that you're seeing?
Representative Crummell, yes, exactly.
So the legislative branch would become the administrative branch in implementing these functions.
The executive branch is still going to be the implementer of the measures, but I think if you have the ombudsperson that is able to help the department in terms of implementation and in terms of helping them make their case before the legislature for any changes in statute that maybe need to be made to give them the authority to do the implementation sorts of things to improve on the audit. I think that would be the overall goal. And it's just the administration or the executive branch and the legislative branch working a little closer together in that respect.
Yeah, I'll just make a comment based on my 6+ years experience as a performance auditor. We generally, when we went in an audit and found problems, by the time we were leaving the audit, our departments were changing and were actually you'll see that in the audit. You'll see a response to the audit, what the department is doing differently to overcome the problems identified in the audit. And if they don't do that, then that's when the legislature slaps them down, or the governor. Nobody wants to leave dangling problems out there, or they lose their jobs.
Sure.
Thanks.
Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Williams, Representative Cruz?
Just a comment. No problem with the intent here. Problem with the name, I think, because Representative Winters is working right now to create an state ombudsman office, kind of like it used to be, so that there's like a one-point contact for the people of Oregon that have issues with the state. And so if we're going to do this, I think we should probably call it something different so we aren't confusing that issue. But
yeah. Yeah, Chair Cruz, Chair Crummell, Representative Cruz. I think you can. There's a lot of different names. You could have a commissioner in there, and I would just say that it would be very helpful, I think, for with new members and House members. When you look at that budget, you're talking $34 billion, and it is so difficult to try to be able to sit there and figure out well, I wonder if there could be a cost savings here. And so, you know, and on the other hand, a lot of times that the reason why we haven't seen a lot of government efficiencies is because the public servants, their hands are often tied. You know, they're kind of boxed in a system where they can't get out. And I was thinking in Pennsylvania, where when they finally asked the public employees, like, how would you change welfare? One of the ideas that came up was, well, let's stop giving welfare to people behind bars. And it was something like that. I'm guessing that people knew about, but they just didn't have the power, or, you know, to kind of come in there and say, hey, let's get this on the table here. Let's eliminate this. And so they started eliminating people that were in prison from receiving welfare. So I think that our state agencies could really use the help also to be able to have an expert to say, well, we see this problem. Let's now try to identify you with legislators and success stories around other states and technologies that could help you deal with that problem.
Representative Bruce?
Yeah, this brought up, and I don't know if this gets to it or not, one of the frustrations I have had was the fact that state employees are pretty much tied, at least in this process, to coming in and defending budgets whether they like them or not. And a good example would be the SDSD budget that was just devastated in the governor's budget. And so these people had to come in, you know, because they work for the governor. And there's no way for the governor's employees to come in and talk about how they really feel about things. Is there any way that this, and actually for that sort of give and take to happen, it would have to happen in the interim in the budget formation process, but you know, it would be nice if there was some way that we could get to the point where these agency officials could actually say in committee what they will tell me behind closed doors in my office, so that we have true record or true feelings on the record, which we don't have now. Is there any way that this rolls into that sort of thing? Or?
Chair Crummell, Representative Cruz, I do like this idea because of having a fellow employee who can build bridges with people within the state agencies and can talk to them on a one-on-one basis and say, hey, we're seeing a cost per unit higher in this area than other states. What's really going on? And sometimes by talking to people on the level, on the ground level, you can come up with those success stories. And that's what something that with Pennsylvania had done, where the governor and lieutenant governor just basically went around the whole state. They had public meetings, town halls, where they invited all the public employees to come and said, hey, we know you guys are having a difficult job trying to balance everything. What do you suggest? And they started coming up with so many great ideas, and they started publishing a newsletter and all kinds of awards. And so the ideas just started to flow that didn't exist before. So, but in order for that to happen, you've got to create a bridge to the people, to our public employees on the ground level who are actually doing it. And I think by having this figure to be able to, who they can approach with ideas, and that person can then go and research it and can be able to help solve that problem.
Okay. I guess, Mr. Chair, it's the latest example when we talk about, because you mentioned the Department of Human Services organization, and we've got all these whistleblower laws and all that are supposed to protect everybody, and I've got folks coming in under the cover of darkness to tell me about what's really going on because they're afraid of repercussions if they come out in public. And so, you know, there is a disconnect in the system here.
They're coming in through the basement?
They come in through the basement, and thank God there's no cameras.
How do you know there aren't?
Well, there's one on the center side.
I know.
Okay.
Any other questions for Mr. Williams? I would point out very early in my political career, one of the books that I read, and the author, the name of the author is actually escaping me at this point, but the name of the book is Reinventing Government. And
Al Gore.
No, actually, I think it's the book that Al Gore read to get the idea to. But anyway, and it does list Indianapolis and some of the things that went on in Pennsylvania. But it does give some very good examples, and we actually used some of those some of the ideas in the city of Wilsonville when I was a mayor, as far as looking at performance-based budgeting, looking at how we could get more for less without cutting services, how we could reduce administrative costs so that the money that was supposed to go into services was actually going into services and not to feed this bureaucracy at City Hall, and it was a very big help. So I encourage this sort of a thing, and if anybody hasn't read that book, I would suggest that you, if you're interested in some performance types of things and efficiency types of things, that it would be a very good book to read. Representative Girard?
Mr. Chairman, I've heard you reference this quite often. Could you tell me who is Al Gore?
Yes, he's a former vice president.
Thank you very much.
We faintly remember him.
Mr. Chair, Al Gore's reinvention of government started in the Bush administration.
When he was in the Senate, right?
No, when the father was president.
Okay. You could just go to Taiwan and have this conversation. You know, everything would be...
right. Okay. Thank you very much, Jason, for coming up. I appreciate it, and thanks for bringing this forward. Is there anyone else who would like to testify on House Bill 3877? Rich, I see you sitting back there. You know, you don't feel like you have to come up, but if you want to...
Mr. Chair, I appreciate the invitation. Rich Pepper is at the...
Never turned down an invitation, right?
That's right. Rich Pepper is with Service Employees International Union Local 503 OPEU. And I just walked in late. I missed the entire conversation that you were having before I got here. I just wanted to stop by, and there are other bills up that I need to get back to as well. But I just wanted to say that one of our concerns around a charge for a position like this would be that it shouldn't be viewed as trying to create a race to the bottom in terms of how employees are paid and are compensated. So, because you can always find efficiencies by paying people less and finding a way to eliminate the health care coverage or one thing or another. And so that would be a big concern for us. And that's the only issue I wanted to bring to your mind. And I didn't see anything in the bill that indicated that. But it's just something to have on the record that it doesn't make sense in terms of public policy, I would argue, or we would argue that the costs of people who don't have health care coverage and people who don't have a retirement plan and whatnot wind up being absorbed by the state in other ways through social programs.
Appreciate your comments. Any questions for Mr. Peppers? I know you admitted that you hadn't been here earlier, and one of the things that Mr. Williams did preface his comments about was that, and it's actually in the bill, as he pointed out, is that it's not the idea of reducing the quality of service or the services that are being, but how can services be delivered in a more efficient manner. But I appreciate your comments.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else who would like to testify on House Bill 3877? Seeing none, I'm going to close the public hearing. We have gone through our agenda. We are finished. Seeing nothing else before us, so we will stand adjourned.